Hi, thanks for downloading this. My name's Alex Boardman. I'm a stand-up comedian. I have been for 20 years, and I run the New Comedians Night at the Comedy Store Manchester. On the podcast, we're going to be speaking to all of the acts on the stage tonight at the New Comedians Show. Okay, let's get on with the show. What a dick. Okay, so we're at New Comedians again. First act on tonight was Luke Smith doing a character. Hello, Luke.
Hello.
Tell us about your character.
Yeah, well, it's called Frank Foucault. I think it's more of a... it's a bit of just a stage name, really. I think it's just because I don't really talk about myself too much. Or when I changed the name, I didn't really talk about myself at all. It was just kind of odd, absurd set pieces. It didn't feel quite right being... And also Luke Smith is just like everyone's called Luke Smith. So
yeah, well...
Well, I mean, there's two people in the room.
The way you answered that question was really interesting because that's like the impression I get from your set as well, because I'm not sure that was a massive answer to that question.
Right,
It was just this jumble of thoughts. And when I watched that set, because I'd not seen you before, you were a recommendation.
Yeah.
And it was so inventive what you did, and it was absolutely all over the place.
Oh,
and there'd be 3 minutes of one, yeah, like a mime, or you started off doing charades, which I don't think I've ever seen anyone else ever do, and then your brain took as you did a small rendition of a song. You finished your set by wearing your suit backwards and doing a stream of more and more ridiculous jokes that had the punchline of the word back, trying to drink a glass of water. It was who are your influences?
Steve Martin's like amazing. He's definitely up there. A couple of years ago I saw Paul Curry in Edinburgh.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, like, I was blown away by that, and I was like, wow, I'd love to do a bit more stuff like that.
Because you reminded me of Simon Munnery. Have you ever seen Simon
Munnery? Yeah. Simon Munnery as well. I love Simon.
Have your gait on stage in the way that you address an audience, and is similar to what Simon used to be like. Did you ever see him when he did the Club Zarathustra?
No, I saw his... No, I didn't. I saw the latest tour that he did, the one about that philosopher, I can't remember his name, Kierkegaard tour.
Yeah.
I saw that. I haven't seen his too much of the early stuff.
He started off doing a real character that first time I saw him, he was being a security guard.
Oh right, yeah,
and
I've seen bits.
Brilliant,
of that.
Jokes, and then he just then appeared as he did Alan Parker Urban Warrior, that was really popular.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he just appeared as this sort of just shambolic, totally avant-garde, really out there style. Ultra alternative comedian,
where he
turned on the end, and you seem to have a little bit of that. You don't seem like you want to be liked or loved. And do you ever feel like with the audience you're kind of trying to get on the nerves a little bit, or you don't care about?
I do respect the audience. It's not like I'm like I want to piss off the audience. I'm not like that at all. I think, you know, but I'm aware that it's not for everyone. Like, I'm aware that, some people are just not going to get it. But, I'm kind of all right with that, because I think there's enough people, like, when people like it, they really dig it. And I prefer that reaction of, like, some people really, really digging it, and, like, other people not quite getting it.
Yeah, that definitely happened.
Yeah. No, my girlfriend's got a God complex. She doesn't exist. How much is that dog in the window? I recently met a Russian transgendered person the other day. She was a woman trapped inside a man's body, trapped inside a woman's body, trapped inside a man's body, trapped inside a woman's body, trapped inside a man's body. Somalia, Somalia. Those are the jokes. 15 minutes left.
And just to talk about what happened tonight, we were in the small room because it's been a really sunny day today.
Yeah.
And we normally have about 80, 90 pre-book.
Yeah.
Today we only had 40 pre-book. So we started out with 40 yeah. people in the room when we went on. Everything yeah. went wrong. The light wasn't working. Yeah. The sound, I had to get somebody from the audience to introduce me on because the introduction was bad. They were totally flat. Yeah. And then you went on to those 40 people. And by the time you went off, there was about 50 or 60 in.
Yeah.
And you'd got pockets of the room that were absolutely howling at everything yeah. you did, and then other people just looking baffled, which I loved. I thought it was such a great start to the night. But of course, had I seen you and I was put you on again,
yeah.
there's no way I'd put you on first because it was so cold anyway.
I was when you put me on first, I was a bit like, oh, should I say something? Because I knew that it was weird, but I don't know, I didn't really want to say it. Like, I didn't want to be like that guy who was like, oh, God.
Well,
oh,
no, I'm good on you for it. And in a way, I think it's better as well to go, right, look, this is new comedians and this is what we're about. And some of these acts are going to be different to what you see on television and new and fresh and exciting. Some of you won't like it, and there you go, deal with that. And I loved it for that. Of course, producer Richard has seen you before and could have at any point told you this very well. just stood at the back going, well, this will be interesting. Which I thought it was. I thought it was absolutely really interesting. I thought it was brilliant. So if people want to find out more about you, have you got a Twitter address or a Facebook page?
I don't really use the Twitter much, but I've got a Facebook page, which is just Frank Foucault.
And how do you spell Foucault?
F-O-U-C-A-U-L-T. Foucault.
Frank Foucault.
Yeah. Like the philosopher Michel Foucault.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which, of course, I'm pretty sure everybody tonight
picked
up on, me included. I thought you were being, like, rude and swearing.
Oh, right.
Oh, you're going to Edinburgh, aren't you? Tell us about Edinburgh.
Okay. I'll go to Edinburgh. I'm doing a 45-minute show, and it's going to be at Cowgate Head at 4:15.
Brilliant. All right? How much are tickets?
It's free fringe.
Oh, PBS. That's going to be brilliant. I couldn't recommend it more highly. Yeah. That would be a great antidote to lots of the plastic, boring comedy you will see in Edinburgh. Go and see Frank Foucault.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Lee.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, second on tonight was Mike Carter. Where are you from, Mike?
A place called Croxteth in Liverpool.
Yeah, you did some material about that, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wayne Rooney's, the Rooney's are from
there. Yeah, he lived like 5 minutes down the road from me.
How old are you? Because you look quite young.
28.
Are you?
Yeah, 22nd of July, 87.
Sorry, it's not like a bar or anything.
No.
I don't require ID.
No, we're just talking to one of the other acts, and our birthdays are like weeks apart. So.
Now, if we were to describe Mike, because obviously we're on a podcast, so you can't see him, he looks like a stereotypical stoner would. Is that a fair assessment?
I've never touched a drug in my life other than alcohol.
Really? Yeah, I'm not suggesting anything.
But
you've got that kind of sort of shaggy hairstyle, beard, plaid shirt, band's t-shirt on.
This is smart for me. Usually it's pyjamas unless I leave the house.
All right. Oh, cheers. Reception was really, really nice because people tend to be disappointed when I come bounding into a room and don't tell them that they're going to Hogwarts.
So how long have you been going, Mike?
I did one gig in October 2014. I did a course with Chris Cairns.
Oh, right. Yeah, he runs a club in Liverpool, doesn't he?
The pubs are Slaughter House, the clubs are Laughter House.
Yeah.
But he did a thing for mental health with Liverpool, the football club.
Right.
And they were basically a bit short, and my friend's his friend. So I went along to fill out the numbers.
Brilliant. But so you'd done it once before, and you went on a course.
No, that was when I did my first gig, February 2015, so a year and a bit, whereas I did Beat the Frog the first time.
So what was your first ever gig like? Was it part of this course?
Yeah, it was a strange one, really, because everyone was sort of new, and it was all friends and family.
Yeah.
And there was one actor, I don't want to be mean, but his material, to us it was just his material. And then when we heard it in front of an audience with women in it,
right,
we were just like, oh, that's really, really creepy.
Oh, God.
And he was closing as well.
Right. I always wonder if you do one of these comedy courses, whether, there's a whole other debate as to whether it's a good idea or not, whether it it's good for certain people, yeah. It's maybe not good for other people. It's gone on for years. Frank yeah. Skinner used to run one, I think. Maybe huh? Frank Skinner went on one. Mm. So it's been going 20 or 30 years, probably much longer.
Yeah.
But one thing I always think is it robs you of your first proper gig.
Yeah.
So your first gig is in front of friends and family and other students, and the atmosphere's a little protected.
Yeah, that's...
So when was your what was your first proper one outside of that environment, mate?
Beat the Frog in February last year. Right,
which is a lot more brutal, isn't it? Beat the Frog and Colts Manchester Frog and Bucky.
Yeah. Well, it was quite nice, because I think they knew it was obviously a first yeah. time, so an 8-5, even though it wasn't great.
Well, that's good.
And then the weekend, I did King Gong, and then realised what I was in for.
Right. And tonight you did really well. You for a newish act, a really yeah. new act, you were very in the room when you back-referenced the first yeah. act who did this material about having his suit on backwards.
Thank
and you kind of said something about sexy back yeah. and stuff. And that was the point the gig really turned and sort of came alive, I think.
Oh, thank you.
Tonight. Yeah. Are you happy with your performance? I thought it was very good.
Yeah, no, like I was pretty nervous because it's the first time I've ever been the Comedy Store that hasn't been a Gong show.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I was
yeah. going
to do really well. A little bit nervous, but I think it's okay, I would say.
Yeah, I think it was okay as well. I'd like to have you back for another 5.
Definitely.
If you want to
yeah,
come.
Anytime, definitely.
But it probably won't be till next year.
Oh, yeah. No.
So if anybody wants to follow Mike Carter, how do they get in touch with you? How do they follow you?
I'm on Twitter. It's really a stupid username, but it's Mikey_the_bear.
Mikey_the_bear.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that a gay thing or a...
Well, I'm not gay, but it is a gay
subculture. Right, yeah, yeah, I thought it was.
No, look, I've got a little...
Producer Rich has got his hand, yeah. head in his hands going, God.
Experimental is the word I would use. No, I've got a little friend who is part of the community.
Right.
And he's known as an Ewok.
Okay.
And he's just like, you're a bear. And I didn't know for a long time.
What that meant?
No, so I just stuck with it.
Well. Okay, that's just a walkie-talkie that's been left in the dressing room area where we're recording at the minute. So I think we're going to be starting in 2 minutes. Thank you, Mike. No, that was brilliant.
Cheers. Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, so the final act of the first half was Jay Hampson, who I've known for, how many, 4 or 5 years maybe?
5 years, yeah.
5 years. And it was a weird night tonight before you went on, wasn't it?
yeah, we witnessed something, definitely. I've never seen anything like it. It was mint, but it was mint for the back of the room, wasn't it?
Oh, it was such an event. We started off with 40 people in the room and everything went wrong as we started. And then the first act was so different and it was really wonderful, but left everyone baffled. And then by the time you got on, the room just kept filling up and filling up. There were like 85, 90 people in there, which is in the tiny room where we were tonight. We should have been in the big room. But you absolutely smashed it.
Thanks, man.
they liked your persona, like your whole Withenshaw thing, because you're like local lad and you're silly voice bit that you started with that was great. But the thing where you really had them, you've got a unique skill, haven't you, where you seem to just be able to have some sort of Rain Man knowledge of animals.
Yeah, it is literally from watching loads of nature documentaries. I don't know why it's in there. It's just Siberian tiger, very specific. Now actually not called Siberian tigers. They prefer to be known as Amur tigers for some reason. Like the snow leopard is now known as the Amur leopard. Eat me! I'm not doing any more. Ever since I was a kid, anything to do with science, it just sticks in my head.
Yeah.
And I just can't forget it. So there's loads of stuff about animals. And I've always liked animals since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And now I've got my own kid, I can just watch all that stuff again.
Yeah, and you were mentioning it on stage about Attenborough being 90. That was last week.
Yeah.
The programmes were on. And they were brilliant.
They were sick.
But your stuff linked in really, really well. But then when you started, do you ever get... This is what I'm trying to get at. I wonder how long you could do that and it'd be a show. Have you ever thought of doing an Edinburgh show where you just take questions and give facts about animals?
God, no, I've never thought of it, but it'd be risky though, wouldn't it?
Cause it would be risky, but you know that there's a finite amount of animals that have been discovered and people would try and trick you up.
Yeah, it's finite, Alex, but there's still quite a few thousand.
I know,
of them.
Right.
Well, didn't Gervais do a show called Animals?
He did a show called Animals, but it was very different to that. It was just some facts about certain bits of animals. It was actually really good. Robin Ince, I think, helped him write bits of that. Maybe Jimmy Carr was still writing.
Robin Ince, actually, when I did, because the stuff's about bonobos, I gigged with Robin and he was giving me facts about bonobos, about that they wear a hat. And I was like, yeah, and we nerded out for about 10, 15 minutes about different things about bonobos.
Have you ever been stumped on stage with, has anybody ever hit you with one and you've gone, oh God, I don't know any facts about a walrus?
No, I can use, because the way I do it, the trick is, you either describe it, so I just describe what the animal looks like. So if it's really obscure, I'll be able to describe it.
Right.
And that's good enough because people go, he knows what it is. And then if it's something I can do a subspecies about, so if it's elephant, I can talk about different subspecies of elephant. But yeah, the trick is to just able, so if something says like, and an axol is a, it's like a type of newt with frills, and you just, someone shouted that once and I just described it and they went, oh. And I can just go, ah, so don't try and trip me up.
Yeah, yeah, it just gets a huge, anything that feels semi, because it's semi-spontaneous.
Yeah.
The audience just really, really went mad for that. I was just trying to think what else you did before that. There was another bit that you felt like, wow, he's really just broken him, and it was very early on. Your voice, in fact, the first thing you say, because you go on and your voice is distinctive.
Yeah.
And you went, oh, da-da-da, squeaky voice. And everybody just, like, giggles and stuff. Is that your real voice? Because it's not as squeaky as when you're on stage.
No, it's not. I think it's my excited voice. When I get on stage, I may be excited, so my voice does get higher when I'm on stage. But at the very beginning, I do over-egg it.
Yeah.
Just so I can get that. It's just that it's an easy laugh at the beginning.
Yeah, and
it does. I have got a stupid voice even when it's normal. So it just gets it right out of the way. Because they are going to just be sat there for 10 minutes going, fuck me, he sounds ridiculous. So,
and just thinking about this, you had a tattoo because you've been whinging about you having a sore chest.
Yeah.
Just what tattoo did you have? Was it today or was it yesterday?
Yesterday I got it. So I got the one on my chest. So it's a big bee with a skull on its back.
Right. And now is that to do, the bee is, why a bee?
So bee is, it's, so a Mancunian, obviously.
Yeah.
So bee is the animal of Manchester, so Boddington's, and it's all over the town halls. It's Manchester bees.
It's on all the
everywhere.
Bins and everything. It's to do with industry, that, I think.
Yeah, to do with industry and the cotton industry and everything. So I got a bee, that was quite cool. Quite like bees, anyway. It's got the colours. And then I've got a skull on its back because skulls are badass. That's the only reason. I was like, I've got, all my tattoos I've got are quite flowery and floral, so I was like, I want a badass one.
Yeah.
So I got that.
Are you going to work that into any routine, possibly link it to the animals bit ever?
Maybe. The only other one I've got is the story about my tattoo on my arm, which is a remake of my granddad's one. And it's a story about my granddad got it when he was on national service. He got pissed and he can't remember getting it done.
Right.
So he woke up with it. But then, because he had one with my grand's name on, they'd only been together 6 months. So he woke up with this tattoo with my grand's name on.
Right.
And then he had to go back to the tattooist the next day to get one with mum on so he didn't get in trouble. So it just proves that, you know, teenagers have been fucking idiots since 1940s.
Forever. So, Jay, if anybody wants to follow you, or have you got a Facebook page, Twitter?
I'm on Twitter. It's at Jay _ Hampson.
At Jay _ Hampson. Brilliant. Thanks, Jay. You were great tonight.
Nice one, mate. Cheers.
Okay, so first up in the second half tonight was Gay Jones. Hello, Gay.
Hello.
Hiya, you're from Rochdale.
Yes.
How long have you been doing it?
3 years.
Was I at your first sort of...
Probably.
Second...
My first gig was at King Gong. And for about 12 months, I just did gong shows.
Right.
First gig King Gong, second gig King Gong, and then a third, I think, was Frog.
Right.
Beat the Frog.
And now you're at the
comedy store.
I did see you really early on.
Yeah.
And you've got a real natural likability and a...
Oh, thank you.
And because you're from Rochdale, it's obviously a good comedy voice, isn't it? It's a nice accent.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
It's great.
I don't know. They all sound like me in Rochdale.
I know, everybody does. I'm from Oldham and they all sound like me in Oldham. We had a massive cock-up tonight, didn't we? Because Gay, you were doing an open spot, which if anybody, I've not already mentioned it, which I'm sure I have, an open spot is where you just come and do 5-7 minutes of material and try out. And that's what Gay was doing. That's what you were doing. But what?
Just let myself and my family and anybody who knows me down. I thought I was doing 15. I thought that's what. And then they wrote on the board, they liked me at 13. So I could see a kerfuffle. I could see you sort of chatting to the lad in the tent.
Rob the sound guy.
Yeah, Rob was the sound guy. And I could see kind of that and thought, it mustn't be for me. Just ignore it and carry on with what you're doing. I was like...
So, any non-comedians in, like, you get what's known as a red light, where basically you ask the sound man, you book to do a 20-minute spot, and you say to the sound man, give us a light on 18, so that if you get totally lost talking to the audience or whatever, this light comes on and you go, I've got 2 minutes to pull it round and get off. So your light should have been on 5, so you'd get off at 7. But on the board next to your name, for some reason, 13. It's written at 13. Yeah. How... Were you not terrified going on thinking, I was only supposed to do 7 and I was not prepared? And
No, I wasn't really bothered. I just thought, oh, right, well, I'll do that bit extra there and I'll just stick that. But no, I was all right, but I just didn't realise it'd been a confusion.
But it worked out well, didn't it?
And I do get people, I will have someone at the bar later go, is Gay your real name? Of course it's my fucking real name. It's not a name you make up, is it? Oh, I'm really called Sarah. I just love the shit that comes with the name Gay. No. But to my two little nephews, I am anti-gay. I was working under... I just thought, well, I just better do what I'm told.
Imagine that, though. Imagine any job that you... Like, you think you finish at 5 and like you just carry on working at 10 o'clock at night. You did so well to just keep going. And I'm really sorry because I was panicking. And at first I was like, oh, no, she's wrapping up this bit. And then you do another two minutes.
Then I went into another bit.
Then you start another bit. And then, oh, God, this is another bit. This will be another 2 minutes long because you could tell from the setup. Yeah. So we're going to be...
Yeah.
So what kind of comedian... Who do you like as...
Lord. I go in and out of stuff. I really like Zoe Lyons. I really like Mickey Flanagan.
Mickey's
really
great.
Like Sean Locke. There's loads. There's just too many. Victoria Awards, that's upsetting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really strange because you're the second female comedian. This is only the second podcast. And last month's Dawn Rigby was on and she said Victoria Wood was her favourite comedian.
Yeah, love her.
And then the week after, Victoria Wood sadly died, which was a total shock to everyone. Nobody knew. Mm. But I wonder if that's a... Obviously, she was brilliant.
Yeah.
But for two... female comics of roughly the same age.
That's brilliant. I think as well, if you still... Because when I got with my fella, and he'd not seen any of Dinner Ladies.
Right.
And so I said, oh, you've got to watch it. And then you know when you start dreading it, thinking, it's a while ago that I watched it, maybe it's not going to...
Yeah.
It's not going to have kind of...
Survived.
Still be. Which some things don't. Anyway, we must have downloaded it or whatever, and he watched it, and he's watched it over again, and he's shown his lad, because he's got a son who loves comedy, so he's brilliant, and he loves it.
Yeah, I'd not seen Dinner Ladies at all until about 3 years ago, so it had been off screen about 5 or 6 years. And a friend who works at the BBC was like, you should watch it, it's really, really great. And I was going, it's not the kind of comedy I think I like.
It still stands
and
up, though, doesn't it?
It really stands up, and it's so funny, and the writing is so tight.
Well, I watched a documentary, and apparently she would give everyone the scripts, and they'd all learn them, and they'd all work really hard, and then she'd do, like, the first initial
reading.
Run of it, and then she'd spend all night up rewriting.
Yeah.
They'd all get in the morning and she'd go, no, throw your script away. I've done you another one. And there'd be more to do. So after a while, they'd just stop learning stuff and thinking, well, we'll just go in and see what she's
see what she's changed today.
Yeah.
Well, you were great tonight. You got that real sort of Victoria Wood kind of northern likability and niceness.
You.
And you do, again, that same kind of nobody's going to mess with you on stage. Are you going to Edinburgh?
I don't think so. I'd like to go up for a long weekend.
But you're not doing a show.
No.
So if anybody wants to find out any more about you, Gay, how do they follow you? How do they...
They don't be so nosy.
Fair enough.
I'm on Facebook, on Twitter. I'm rubbish on Twitter. Do you do Twitter?
Badly, yeah.
I'm terrible.
It's an age thing.
I think it is.
It definitely is. What is your handle on Twitter?
GayJones4.
GayJones4.
Yeah, Gay with an E.
So if you want to follow Gay Jones, GAYE.
I'll make more of an effort.
Yeah, do.
This is going to make me make more of an effort with Twitter. I am terrible.
Thanks, Gay.
Thank you.
Okay, so our final act at New Comedians this week was Stephen Bailey, who is... How would you describe Stephen? How would you describe yourself?
Would this voice describe it? I think this voice summarizes everything there is to know about me. And then let's throw in the word teabag in, and we're there.
So he's
can I swear on this?
Well, teabagging's not swearing, is it? If you're a big, rough, heterosexual builder such as yourself who enjoys tea. You've got a really unique look. The first time I saw you, I knew you were a comedian before I knew you were a comedian.
Oh, no, I don't know if that's positive.
Well, I don't know if this is me being old and not realising that your fashion... Is that fashion, or is that kind of... You're wearing a dicky bow for a start.
Dicky bow and a suit. So here's the thing, right? I find with me, I basically like to put on a show. So I like to have like gig outfits. So like I like to think, if Katy Perry did stand up, what would she wear? She wouldn't just go out in a t-shirt and jeans.
No.
So that's what I do. So like in real life, like I'm really bored. I mean, I still have this hair.
Do you know what? I've looked at Katy Perry and lots of pictures of Katy Perry, and I don't.
And you don't see me in her. No, but when she's performing, so like when she's performing, like she had like a dress that was like flames.
Yeah.
And she has like the dress that has like the bubble gums that spin. Like she's not wearing that on the red carpet.
No.
That's for performance. So I just think, and I think it's, I don't know. I was just like, also, it allows you to just wear
something. This is why I asked you this, because every time I've seen you, or most times I've seen you, you've had a really smart white shirt on, a dicky bow that matches a grey fitted single-breasted jacket,
woolen,
and matching trousers, very smart shoes, nice brogues. Yeah. You've got a kind of look of somewhere in between Pee-wee Herman.
I've had this before.
And maybe some of the silent movie people from the 30s, maybe going back, Chaplin, Harold Lloyd, Buster Keaton.
It wasn't really a conscious decision. What it was, because I live in London now. So what it was...
So everybody looks
so
like
everyone
that.
No one looks like this. But I was like, I saw a bow tie in Top Man, and I was like, well, that would work there. And I wasn't doing stand-up at the time, and I just wore it, and I was like, oh. And so then when I started doing stand-up, like I did the normal, like, just go in whatever you were wearing that day. And it was fine, but I was like, I didn't feel like I was doing a show. And so, yeah, now...
So is this like the uniform now then?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I like to feel like... I was watching this Cheryl Cole documentary, right? And she was supporting the Black Eyed Peas. And their creative director said to her, you have to make this half an hour your own show that makes them have to top something. And as an open spot or an opener, I want to do that same thing. Like, I don't think I'm better than the headliners that are on the circuit. Definitely not. But I want to feel like this is my... So this 20 minutes is my time. You're at my show for this 20 minutes.
Wow.
And then there's a show.
What an
interesting... Is that awful to say?
That's brilliant to say. And I'm really interested because I came at it totally the wrong angle from like a comedy angle going, oh, it's like Pee Wee Herman,
Buster
Keaton.
No.
And
I didn't know who Pee Wee Herman was. And, like, I knew the name, but I didn't know what he looked like until someone was like, Pee Wee Herman. I was like, yeah. And then I had to Google it.
I think it's funny that you'd come at it from a Katy Perry and a Cheryl Cole angle.
Yeah.
And what you said is totally valid. Now, I've had this conversation with other comedians who used to be really good footballers. Some played semi-pro, some even played pro.
Oh.
And they take that background in.
Yeah.
What's that? The football background, the like mentality of, right, I've just got to go on, I've got to try my best. If I'm feeling under the weather, I've got to ignore it. I've got 20 minutes to just get through it. I'll give it 100%. And they always seem kind of...
Yeah.
And I was going, well, that's funny how that would relate to stand up. And now you've gone in like from this performance thing, and it's the exact same attitude of giving it your all. And
well, here's the thing. I think sometimes I'm having a breakdown, but sometimes I feel like people have paid for a ticket. And so I really have that attitude of like, I don't mind going off my set to go into them to get laughs. If that's what they want, like they can have what they want. They've paid for the ticket.
Right.
And
how long have you been doing it?
So it was 5 years in February.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder how long that'll last. I wonder how long you'll... I wonder if in 5 more years, I'd love to speak to you and say, are you still giving them what they want, or are you doing what you want?
Let's put a date in the day. Because I feel like it is the healthy balance of, like, the things I am talking about, I want to talk about.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they're reacting better to Ruda, and you can tell across the night they have, like tonight,
you can tell.
I will give them more of that. Whereas if it's more like they're a bit more reserved, like I can rein it in as well. But I want them to have a nice time, because I feel like when they have a nice time, I have a nice... Like, I'm not one of these ones where it is like... And it's very valid again, but like, I don't feel like I'm an artist. I feel like I'm an entertainer. So to entertain, they need to be laughing.
That's a perfectly valid angle, isn't
yeah.
it? And that's really, that is interesting. What you do very well, and I've gigged with you maybe 3 times now in the last mm-hmm. month, and I've watched you every time. Do a different rooms, different groups of people, yeah. obviously they always are. But I'm talking different demographic of rooms, older rooms. Tonight, kind of a mixed, maybe yeah. a little bit younger room, cool venues, younger. Not so cool venues.
Yeah.
And you read the room really well. Oh, and thanks. You do deviate off your script.
Yeah.
I don't know if you realise how much you do it, but you do your stuff, and if it doesn't work exactly how you want it, you will move that audience to where you want them.
Yeah.
Which is a great skill to have.
Well, my thing, and I definitely think something like it's not all noble about being like, well, I want them to have a nice time. I don't want to have to walk through these people afterwards knowing I've died.
Dressed like Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, dressed exactly like going like, oh, God. Because actually, when I walk into a room and you have to walk through the people, 9 times out of 10, the men will be looking at you like, is that on tonight? Like, you can see it in their brain. And then afterwards, they're the first to come up and shake your hand. And I quite like that side
yeah,
of things.
Yeah, that's good.
But then I don't like the ones where you've proved them right. And it's like, oh, God, that was on
yeah,
tonight.
Well, I've seen you 3 times. I've not seen you do anything other than storm it.
Too much. Too soon. This isn't the fucking Lion King. Now, let me tell you, right, I am from Manchester. My parents live in Denton. And it's really nice. Actually, they've just bought a bungalow in Bernage. It's going fantastic. I feel like I finally got the straights at the back. They were like, oh, it's our bit. Property. I don't know why people find property interesting. It's so dull, isn't it? Just buy a house, move in, be done with it.
Do you have an acting background?
No. I never performed until I started stand-up 5 years ago. I'd never been
really?
On a stage until
that
5 years ago.
That surprises me a lot.
I was painfully shy. Like, when I was growing up, I had a lisp and a stammer, and I had to go to
wow.
speech therapy.
Well, you do speak really well, yeah. actually. I notice you've got quite a clear speech and stuff.
Because of that. And then what else did I have to do? And then I was just quite shy in school. I think it was probably because, you know, the suppressed gay thing at the time. Like, I guess that was it. And then when I got to London, like, I was still being shy because I moved to London before I even started doing comedy. I just
yeah.
moved because I was graduated and I've been in Manchester for 23 years. So to try something new. And
so are you 28?
Yeah.
Wow, I thought you were about 23.
Oh, thanks, Alex. So in London, like, I had a few friends.
I'm now
like,
flirting with every whoever's the last act on. I always flirt
no,
with.
I thought it was guess, special.
No, time of the night. I've had a couple of drinks. It's time.
Let's get a couple more in you and see what happens.
Do you know?
I'll buy you a kebab.
I'll be honest. I've been married for 18 years. I'm up for it.
Okay, great. I'm gonna remember that. I'll buy you another Heineken or any other beer. Yeah, and so then I moved to London, and my friends who I work with were like, why'd you go red every time to talk to you? And I was like, oh, I just get so shy. And so someone suggested that I do stand-up just to see what it was like. And I was like, no, you fucking do stand-up. I'm not doing that. And then I did it, and the first one, do you know when you have that first, do you have the first gig where it was amazing?
Yeah.
So I had the first gig, and it was so, so good, false sense of security. And then I died for like a year, like a whole year. But I must have that delusion, because I always remember that first one. I was like, but I'm sure it's meant to be. Otherwise, why would I be on a
yeah,
stand-up stage?
Yeah.
And I always remember that first one. And then just for a year, I was really shit.
Well, I've only seen you in the last year. I've never yeah. seen you do anything other than storm it. Oh, you going to Edinburgh?
I am. I'm going to be at the Caves this year, just for Tonic.
What time's your show, do you?
7:20.
Free?
Free. Stephen Bailey, Nation's Sweetheart.
Right, I cannot recommend. If you just want to go, I was going to say I can't recommend
it. I was going to say that.
If you're in Edinburgh and you're with a couple of pals and you just want to see someone that you will howl laughing at.
Well, I'm not trying to change anyone's world. I'm not one of these comedians.
Do you know what, though? You'll leave that show and you'll go, I'm actually aching from laughing so much.
Oh,
it will be a real high, definite recommendation.
Let's get 2 more drinks in you, shall we? You're heading the right way.
I'll take my glasses off, pretend you're Cheryl Cole.
Do it. Oh, thank you very much. That was me, Cheryl.
Right. How these people that are going to see you and come and love your show, how can they find out information about you?
Twitter's the best way, at Stephen Comedy with a PH, Stephen, because then I always tweet shit on there.
At Stephen Comedy, yeah. And we'll put links up anyway. Brilliant.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Well, we've not done that yet, have we? But we'll find out.
We get
a couple more Heineken in me. There might not be a podcast next month.
You'll be sore. Out of order.
Right, everyone, thanks for listening. If you want to come to a new comedian show, it is he's always on the third Sunday of the month. £4 to get in, start at 7:30, finish by 10 so you can get the last bus home. Comedy Store Manchester in the Arches at Deansgate. See you at a show.
Bye.
Okay, well, thanks to all the new comedians that were part of the show tonight. Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you made it this far, congratulations. If you want to share us and maybe rate and review us, that would be much appreciated. If you want to get in contact with me, my Twitter address is at ALX Boardman. So that's Alex Boardman without the E in. Thanks for listening. Come to a show.